We finished last week a series called Rooted. It was all about the spiritual disciplines, and that's what Cindy was talking about. We talked about the Sabbath and rest. Moving on this week to a new topic, a new book of the Bible. I like certain times in the year, it's best to kind of dive into a book of the Bible and start sorting through what God's Word says. Not that we do that every week, we just do it differently. And so this is a different way to do that, to go through a whole book. And Jonah's a very short book, but it has a lot in it. So I've kind of given a little subtext to the book of Jonah, and that's God's relentless grace, mercy, and love towards sinners. I don't know what conversations or what your house sounds like on a daily basis. We have two little kids, and so there are some very common words that happen at our house. Mama is one of them. I think it's said like 3,000 some times in a day between our two children. Mama, 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 I'm mama. I mean, I'm like, no, dad, dad, and then Naomi starts bawling. She calls anytime she wants somebody, it's mama. And so that's one common word that we hear very often in our home. Another common word is what? Because sometimes Stacy and I could be sitting next to each other on the couch, and just with everything else going on, one of us will say something a little bit, what? Because we have to take a minute to process all of that, and sometimes we don't hear, and because sometimes one of our children is singing at the top of her lungs, and the other one's crying at the top of her lungs at the same time, and so sometimes it's like, what did you say? What was that? Sometimes I have a bad habit. Stacy will tell you this. She probably wouldn't, except for I mentioned it, but I have this bad habit of starting a conversation, and then I'll start walking away, and so I'm not facing her, and she's like, what did you just say? Will you just turn around and talk to me? And so we get this word that's used quite often. What happened? What did you say? As we begin to talk through the book of Jonah, you'd think that Jonah has a hearing problem. You think that Jonah just maybe didn't hear things properly as we get into chapter 1. He's told to do one thing by God, but he does the complete opposite. Jonah's a very familiar story. When I say the term Jonah, you probably think Jonah and the whale. It's probably where your minds go, because that's the story we've been hearing from nursery probably on up. Very familiar, but the book of Jonah is not just a children's story. I don't think God just put it in here and says, okay, the kids will have something fun to study about Jonah being swallowed by a big fish. I think that would be great. It's not just in here for kids. I think it has relevance for all of us. I think it's important to understand what it says. I have a short video I'm going to show you. There's going to be sound, and just so you guys are all ready for that. It's a short, long video. It's about 9 minutes long. But it's from the guys at the Gospel Project. I don't know if you're familiar at all with the Gospel Project. Gospel Project? Bible Project. Got to look at my notes. It's one of the two. The Bible Project. Sorry, I'm telling you the wrong thing. The guys at the Bible Project. I want you guys to know that name, because if you're doing Bible study, it's very helpful. You'll see their video this morning. They put these videos together on a book of the Bible. This is 9 minutes long, and maybe you could read through the whole book of Jonah in 9 minutes, but this gives you kind of a synopsis and background on the book. I want you guys to see one of these so that you know, if you have internet at home, you could go on YouTube and type in the Bible Project, and you could look through these videos and just find out, okay, this is what maybe a book you don't know a whole lot about, maybe another of the Old Testament prophetical books that you're not as familiar with as Jonah. You could click on that, like Haggai. What is the book of Haggai all about? And they would show you the video, and it would tell you, kind of give you a little synopsis about that. Stacy said she's used these in children's ministry before too, because they're kind of geared for both, where an adult can learn something from them. I think kids can learn something from them. But you have to understand, these are not the Word of God. These are a tool to help us with the Word of God. And I want to delineate those two because it's very important that we dig into the Word of God. Find out what the Word says. And not just read things about the Word of God or watch videos about the Word of God, but we get into God's Word. And we'll do that this morning after we watch this first video. Why don't you go ahead and click next on that. So now that we have the overview, let's dive into God's Word. Jonah chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. That gave us kind of the overarching, what the whole book is about and why it's there. So let's talk about some of the specifics this morning. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. I think I've heard Jonah preached and talked about so much. And the book is named after Jonah, but we don't always think about the main character in the book. Who's the main character? God. The word of the Lord, the term Lord there is the Jewish holy name for God. Whenever you look in your Bible and you see the big L with all the little capitalized, that's Yahweh. That's the holy name of God. Now, the word of the Lord, the word of God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that word came to Jonah. God's word comes to Jonah, as you saw in the book. Jonah was a real historical person. There's a background there that Jonah is not only mentioned in the book of Jonah, but he's also mentioned earlier as well. Jonah's a real historical person. I think there are those out there that would say, this is a whale of a tale. That it's a great fictional story, but that is not the case. Jonah is real. He was a real historical person, and these were real historical events that occurred, and that's hard sometimes to figure out, but if God can create the world, I think he can also provide a fish that can swallow Jonah for a couple of days. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and this word was this, verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." God sends his prophet Jonah. The prophets in the Old Testament were people who received a message directly from God. Then they were to take that message, and usually they were to take it to the nation of Israel. Usually that message didn't go over so well. It wasn't like they were coming and saying, "Hey, nation of Israel, God's going to bless you and give you $1 million. That wasn't usually the case. It was usually, "Guys, you're messing up. If you don't repent, God's going to destroy you," or "God's going to send you other nations to come in and wipe you out," or "God's going to send other nations in to come and disperse you." Or that's what God's prophets had to do. They didn't come with a popular message. This isn't a popular message either, but Jonah is sent to Nineveh. You can see my little red circles there, the bottom left area right here. That's Joppa there. That's where Jonah goes to. And there's Nineveh right up here. So Jonah first, it says he goes to Joppa. We haven't quite got there yet, but there's Nineveh. It's quite a distance. It's about 550 miles. God says, go to Nineveh. And the Ninevites were part of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were not nice people. The Assyrians, they were kind of growing and they were kind of conquering people, but they used forms of torture. They invented forms of torture that were just horrendous. I actually had a class in seminary on the book of Jonah, and the guy that was teaching the class was an archaeologist. And so he had dug up some of the things, the pictures and such from the 8th century B.C. That's about the time Jonah, they place it biblically in the time frame. And he described some of those things. I'm not going to describe it this morning, but they were just horrendous acts. that these people would do to anyone that they came across. Ninevites were hated by the Jews because they did this, and they just believed they were a heathen people and they shouldn't have anything to do with them and God should wipe them out. But God says, go to Nineveh, a great city, and call out against it. You also have to understand that God is a holy God, and God is confronting evil here. But how is he doing that? He's confronting it by sending Jonah. You talk about being persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Jonah is sent to do a righteous purpose, and what does he expect? He expects to be tortured, because these are not very nice people. He not only has to go to Nineveh, but he has to travel through Assyrian land to get there. Verse 3. But Jonah rose. God said, arise. Jonah rose. Good. Jonah got up and did something to flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. He starts off, it sounds like he's doing what God called him to do, but then he messes up. He's supposed to be the prophet of God. Prophets are supposed to have this good theology, but Jonah has this major flaw in his theology. He thinks he can run away from God's presence. He thinks he can escape God, and that's not going to happen. We read in the book of Psalm chapter 139, where shall I go from your spirit? The psalmist is saying, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. There's no escaping God. You can't get away from God's presence. And Jonah, being a prophet of God, you would have thought he would have known better. But he tries to run away from God instead. Notice in the text it says he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish and he goes down into the ship. Jonah's supposed to be arising to follow the call, but instead he has a great fall. He goes down, 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 down. He's supposed to have proper belief and understanding of who God is, and that's supposed to lead his life. But instead his spiritual life is diving fast. It's suffering. I showed you the map of where Joppa and Nineveh were. He travels to Joppa to go to Tarshish. Tarshish is 2,500 miles in the wrong direction. Tarshish is a good boat ride. It's actually 3,000 miles in the wrong direction. To put this into context, it'd be like traveling from Miami, Florida to Seattle, Washington. That's about 3,000 miles, depending if you take which route, but it's about that. That's 3,000 miles. God says, travel to Nineveh. Jonah says, okay, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to start going in the wrong direction. Jonah paid his fare for the ship, and I don't know exactly what they look like. There has been some archaeological stuff, and so it kind of looks something like this, just to give you guys a picture of what he was traveling on. The sailors would only travel during certain times of the year because they had a rainy season, a stormy season. They would not travel during that time. That's important because of the story. And so Jonah pays the fare, and a lot of commentaries believe that paid the fare, the word used there, is he paid for the ship. Jonah didn't just come and say, I want a seat. Jonah came and said, I'm going to take all the seats, let's go. We'll read later about some cargo that he threw over, so they had some other stuff they were taking with them, but I think Jonah paid for this ship. He was desperate to get out of there as fast as he could. You guys are here. Here's some money. This will be enough to pay your wages to get me there. So Jonah pays to go. Let's continue reading. Verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break apart. As I just said, sailors wouldn't sail during a stormy season. So this was an anomaly. This was directly from God. This was not just a storm that came up. This was not just a regular thunderstorm. This was a storm that God put in the path of this ship. God was threatening to break apart this ship. God is attacking what Jonah is putting his trust into. He's paid for the ship. He wants to get out of there. He wants to flee God's presence. And he's putting his trust in this ship that it's going to get him away from God. And God's saying, you're putting your trust in the wrong thing. I can just destroy this ship. Verse 5, Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. I think the mariners were probably a mix of different cultures, and so they each had their own gods that they were crying out to, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship. They might have been hauling some great perfumes or all sorts of different things, but they said, forget this. We don't care about getting the money when we get there. We're just throwing it over. We don't want to die. And they hurled it all into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. Down, 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 down. Are you getting it? The author's repeating here. Not only did he say he went down to Joppa and he went down into the ship, he went down into the ship and he laid down. Jonah's so far away. Jonah is asleep spiritually. Not only is he asleep physically here, but he's asleep spiritually, and God is trying to wake him up. Verse 6. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give you a thought to us that we may not perish. It's very interesting. Sometimes you get the same message from two different people. I talked about that a little bit during my announcement this morning, but it happened to me another time in the last couple weeks. I had a couple Gideons come in. They just stopped by the office one day, and they walked in and said, hey, we want to talk to you. We want to pray with you, because the Gideons are praying for your ministry here in this church. And I get cards all the time from them saying, hey, we prayed for you tonight as we met, and those kinds of things. And so they walked in. They said, hey, you know, can we pray for you? She said, sure, that's fine. So we sat in my office, talked for a little bit. They got up and they placed their hands on me and they prayed for me. And I thought, well, wow, kind of feel special, you know. Well, when they finished, something weird happened. And I don't know if this happens to them all the time, but the one guy said, I'm sensing that you have some anxiety in your life. I'm just sensing that. Can I just pray for you about that? And I was kind of like, well, I don't know about anything specific, but I have anxiety about life. I mean, you know, I think it's genetics. I mean, some people in my family worry about things, and I worry about things. And he's like, okay, well, I'll just pray for you. So he prays for me about that, and they leave. And I've been reading the book, The Art of Rest, again, for our series that we were going through. And I'd flipped it over. I turned the page and flipped it over as they walked in. And I pick it up to read it. And at the top of the page, the headline for that page said, resist the anxiety. I read it, resist the anxiety. He was just praying for me about this. Okay, God, what are you trying to tell me? And I texted Stacy. I was like, I think God's trying to give me a message, and I'm anxious about something, and I don't need to be. I don't need to be this anxious about things. And so sometimes God does that, and he sends multiple messages. This captain of this ship comes down to Jonah, and he says, Jonah, arise and call out. What did God tell Jonah to do? Rise up and call out to the people of Nineveh. Two same exact words. It had to give Jonah something like, oh, that's the same message God gave me. Repeated. Jonah, arise, O sleeper, and call out to your God. But Jonah's fast asleep. We'll continue the rest next week, but just give you a couple. Whenever you read the Word of God, you also should think about how you can apply the Word of God as well. And so a couple ideas for this week, things that you might be able to apply. When God speaks, am I willing to listen and obey? Jonah heard the word of the Lord. It was clear. But instead of listening and obeying, what did he do? What do we do when we hear from God? What do we do when we read the Bible? Do we listen and obey? Do we trust and obey? Or do we try to get away from God's presence? Jonah trusted in the wrong things. He was trusting in a ship and in people that would try to get him out of there. But where is your trust? Jonah was told to tell people who didn't believe in God, people who were torturers and were just horrible people, he was told to give God's message to them. But how are you doing it? Telling others about God. Jonah, even though he was called a prophet of God, his relationship wasn't very close to God. So where do you find yourself in relationship to God? Are you running from him? Are you trying to get away from him? Maybe it's time for you to stop running this morning. We serve a God of second chances, and if you read the book of Jonah and you know the book of Jonah, it's second chances and third chances and fourth chances. God continues to give multiple opportunities because he is a God of grace and mercy and love. Do you notice that God is not just a God of grace and mercy and love to the Ninevites, but God is a God of grace and mercy and love to those sailors? God is a God of grace and mercy and love to those who are completely rebelling against him like Jonah. Because God continuously shows him grace and mercy and love. So where do you find yourself in relationship to God? Would you pray with me? Father, God, we thank you for this book of Jonah, and we thank you for your word that guides our life, your word that gives us direction. God, help us not to be like Jonah. God, help us to be people who listen to your word and obey it, who listen to your word and trust you with it. God, help us to follow your call when you lead us. And God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.